be turning in your Bible to Revelations chapter 21. Revelations chapter 21, we'll be reading this morning for the lesson, verse 27. That's Revelation 21, verse 27. As we worship the true and living God, let us remember that His Word is ours to search and to read and to study and to obey. The lesson's title this morning is The Lamb's Book of Life, beginning in verse 27. And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Thank you so much for noticing that passage of Scripture from the Revelation of John, chapter 21, verse 27. Good morning, and a happy Mother's Day to those of you who are mothers. We don't usually express our appreciation to you as often as we should, I think, for all that you do. I know there are some young mothers who faithfully make sure that their children are clean, presentable, with clean clothes and ironed clothes every time we meet. And that's so much appreciated. And how that you teach and train your children to do the things that are right, and we appreciate that so very much. Our society has decided this would be a good day to recognize that once a year. And so I just want to add my hearty wish for happiness for you if you're a mother, for all that you do, the sacrifices you make, and you know really what it's like to live the life of a servant, I think, if you have children. And for those of you who do not have children, let me just say that you're appreciated as well. We know that you can be teachers and are mentors to our young people, and you are. That you can do many of the good works that mothers do for their children and for others, and we appreciate that so very much as well. If you have a living mother and are able to see her today, give her a kiss. If you're able to talk to her today, tell her how much you love her and appreciate her. Many of us have mothers who've gone on, and we can't say those words to them at this time of year again, but if you do have one that's readily available for you, count your blessings and express your appreciation. That would be a good thing. We love and appreciate our mothers. In times past, there was a practice of enrolling all of the citizens of an ancient or old particular city or town or village upon a city register, indicating that that person is a citizen of this town and that person is entitled to all the rights and the privileges and the blessings of being counted as a citizen of this town. But when a person died, their name was blotted out from the record. They were no longer citizens. If a person committed some dishonorable thing, his name was blotted from that record, removed from that record, not recognized as a citizen any longer. From that particular custom, the lessons about the Lamb's Book of Life are taken for us. One of the very beautiful expressions found in God's Word, I think, is a reference to the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, we can think about a lot of different type of books. And if you have been in a bookstore and browsed through the books that are available today, the making of books, there seems to be no end. What would appeal to you? A book about wickedness? A book about how to be more evil than the most evil person you know? A book on how to take revenge? You know, there are a lot of dishonorable books available in our society. But when we look into God's book, and we see a reference to a book of life, oh, now that's interesting. Oh, that piques my curiosity. That makes me think there's something good in this book. And such we have, the Lamb's Book of Life, the Lamb who sacrificed himself for us. What a beautiful expression that is, don't you think? There are several points that we could think about in reference to the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's do that. Let's think about what the Bible says about this Lamb's Book of Life. In the first place, I want to suggest to you the reality of the fact that there is such a record that is kept. The prophet Daniel indicated that such a book was kept in Daniel 12 and verse 1. The second part of that verse, he says, "And at that time your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued." A prophetic utterance there by the prophet Daniel. In Revelation 13 and verse 8, John speaks about those who make war with the saints as being, in Revelation 13 verse 8, "All who dwell on the earth will worship him," in reference to the beast out of the sea, according to John's figure. "Everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain." So another reference to a record that is kept. And notice that in the New Testament, Paul speaks very plain language about this subject in Philippians 4 and verse 3. He says, "Indeed, true companion, I ask you to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." Now, you know, this has a special appreciation for someone like me. I'm not an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm not a great lawgiver like Moses was. But I see here some, what you and I might call average, ordinary, everyday Christians, whom Paul calls fellow workers in the gospel. And he says their names are written in the book of life. That's an encouragement to me. And it should be an encouragement to you that we can be the kind of people before God that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is a wonderful thought to me. There is such a record that is kept. Secondly, this record that is kept is infallible. There are no mistakes in it. It is accurate. Inasmuch as this is the record or the roll of the Lamb, surely the record is mistake-free. Jesus is described in Revelation 1 and verse 14 as one whose eyes were like a flame of fire, which probably alludes to his having an infinite awareness and a universal knowledge. John wrote about this in John 2 and verse 25. "Jesus did not need anyone to testify concerning man," John recorded, "for he himself knew what was in man." That's in reference to what Jesus Christ knows about the hearts of men and women. Early Christians recognized the all-knowing characteristic of the Lord when they prayed for his decision to be made with regard to a replacement for Judas, the betrayer of Jesus. In Acts 1 and verse 24, notice, when they prayed and said, "You, O Lord, who know the hearts of all men, show which one of these two you have chosen." And as a matter of fact, in Hebrews 4 and verse 13, "There is no creature hidden in his sight," the Hebrew writer said, "but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Certainly Jesus sees all and knows all and is able to keep an accurate record in his record book. It follows that the Lord certainly knows those who belong to him He redeemed a people to purify for himself, a people for his own possession in Titus 2 in verse 14. John says that in John 13 in verse 1 that Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. John also quoted Jesus in John 10 and verse 14 when Jesus said, I am the good shepherd and I know my own and my own know me. The Bible indicates to us that the Lord adds to the church daily those that are being saved in Acts 2 and verse 47. That was the condition then. If there are daily people who are saved on this earth, the Lord does the same thing. He adds them to his church daily, those who are being saved. Since he adds them, he must know who they are, don't you think? If he's adding them to his church, would he not know their identity? Would he not know something about them? What was in their hearts? Certainly he would. He does not add the names of any whose names should not be enrolled, nor does he fail to add names that should be enrolled. Men sometimes keep church rolls, but you know their record is not infallible. They may list someone as being an active member of the Lord's church, and they may be rotten to the core. They may fail to mention people that should be included. Men sometimes keep church rolls, but their record keeping is subject to mistakes. The Lord's record is not. Man may add the name of some insincere person, some unrighteous man. Some righteous person may be stricken from the roll of man. God doesn't make those kind of mistakes, does he? He knows. The Lord knows. The authentic and infallible roll is kept in heaven. Men try to make membership rolls, and you know, it has its advantage. It has its goodness, its good use about it. But as far as an infallible, mistake-free, perfect record, we can depend on the Lord to have that kind of record, can't we? Hear what Jesus told the returning 70 disciples when he sent them out on a limited commission in Luke 10 and verse 20. They were recounting the things that they were able to do. And Jesus said, I do not rejoice in this, but notice, I do not rejoice in this that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. That's powerful, isn't it? The roll is an infallible record, not subject to mistakes. Thirdly, we can think about the fact that Old Testament worthies are written in that record. Apparently, from the beginning, God has kept a heavenly record, a divine register of those who faithfully serve him. On one occasion, when Israel had sinned grievously, Moses sought to intercede with God for them. He even sought to exchange himself if God would show mercy on these sinning people. And he pleaded with God in Exodus 32, beginning in verse 32, and he says, now, if you will forgive their sin, this was his appeal, forgive their sin, and if not, please blot me out from your book which you have written. Moses was aware of such a record. The Lord said to Moses in the next verse, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. God affirmed that Moses had the correct concept of a record book being kept. And it appears that Moses knew that his name was written in the Lord's book. Was Moses the only one who lived by faith and believed in God and obeyed God who had his name written in God's book? One does not get that impression when he reads a passage like Hebrews chapter 11, which you and I sometimes call the hall of fame of faith, where the names of ancient heroes of faith appear in the holy scriptures of God. Would their names not be written in this divine record? The strong implication is that these were enrolled in the book of life. So I can say that I confidently believe, based on that implication, that the Old Testament worthies were written in that book. And then also, the names of Christians are written there. Again, I refer to Philippians 4:3, where Paul stated that the names of his fellow laborers are in the book of life. The rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. The Holy Spirit had Paul pen that. It means something. The Hebrew writer refers to the general assembly in Hebrews 12 and verse 23 and the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. And to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of the righteous made perfect in that passage. Are you a member of the church that Jesus built? Jesus said he would build one. He did build one. We see it come to fruition in Acts chapter 2. And we see it spread throughout the world, beginning in Acts 2 and all the way through the rest of the New Testament. We see that affirmed. It didn't go out of existence. Jesus said even the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Are you a member of the Lord's church today? Are you a member of the church that Jesus built, is the question. Are you a member of that church? Are you in the church of the firstborn ones? Where all saints have a birthright. Not just the firstborn. All saints have a birthright. These are all of the saved. And they are enrolled in heaven. Friend, can you see in the scriptures that only members of the church have their names written in heaven? Only members of the body that the Lord purchased with His own precious blood have their names inscribed in this divine roll, this record book, the Lamb's Book of Life. Can you see that? If a person can be saved outside the church, he can be saved without having his name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Would you affirm that? If one can be saved without being a member of the church, he can be saved without Jesus acknowledging him before the Father. Would you affirm that? In John 1, 12 and 13, John wrote this about Jesus. He said, "As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." He said, these that received him, to whom he gave the right to become children of God, those that believe on his name, these people were born of God. You know, John talks about something along those lines a mere two chapters later, or several verses later in his gospel account in John 3, 5 and 6. Jesus told Nicodemus, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." Now Jesus is saying you have to be born again to enter the kingdom of God. Would you affirm that the born-again ones have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life? I would. Would you affirm that those who have not been born again have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life? I wouldn't. The names of Christians are written there. Members of the church of the firstborn ones, their names are enrolled in heaven. That is affirmed in the scriptures, isn't it? And sadly, if one's name is not written there, what will be his fate? What is his condition? It's sad to contemplate. But the scriptures of God show us that that person will be lost. In the judgment scene in heaven, John saw that one's name must be found in the book of life in order to be saved eternally. In Revelation 20 and verse 12, John wrote these words, "At the behest of the Holy Spirit of God, and I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. The Lamb's Book of Life has a key position in the things that happen in the Day of Judgment, doesn't it? There's some great significance to the Lamb's Book of Life. There is something for us to contemplate about our name being written there. John stated also that the destruction of the beast would cause wonderment on the part of those whose names have not been written in the Book of Life from the foundation of the world in John 17 and verse 8. In order to show categorically the absolute essentiality of having one's name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, John said in Revelation 20 and verse 15 these words. Note carefully. If anyone's name was not found written in the Book of Life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. That's bad news for those whose names are not written in that book. Can you see clearly a sharp division between the saved and the lost in passages like this? In the end, people will either share in the bliss of heaven or they will find their place in the lake of fire. And there's no in between. There's no neutral ground. No medium place where the decision is not really sure one way or the other. Either our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, or everything we live for and every dream we have and every action that we do in this life and every thought that we have about bettering ourselves is all for naught. And those are sobering thoughts, are they not? Notice that one's name may be blotted out. Some try to use the fact that there is a heavenly book of life to prove the impossibility of any believer ever falling away from the faith. With the concept, well, once your name is written there, it can never be removed. Is that really what the Bible says? Is it true that... It certainly is true that man cannot blot your name out of the book of life. But what about the Lamb? Can the Lamb blot your name out of the book of life? Moses realized that God could remove his name from his roll book when he asked God to blot him out under these conditions in Revelation 32 and verse 32. If you're not going to forgive these people, notice his prayer. Please blot me out from your book which you have written. Why would he pray for something that was impossible for God to do? God will not blot out any of his book, but those who by their own willful disobedience have forfeited the honor of being enrolled in such a book. In Exodus 32 and verse 33, the Lord said to Moses clearly, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. Doesn't that show us that there's something about sins that men do that create a barrier between men and God, just as Isaiah talked about in his prophecy? There's something there that God doesn't appreciate, and he doesn't appreciate it to the point where he will remove our names from his record book. Speaking of some who had become adversaries of God's people, David wrote by the inspiration of the Spirit in Psalm 69 and verse 28. Notice what he said. May they be blotted out from the book of life, and may they not be recorded with the righteous. That's an appeal to God. Obviously, one's name could not be blotted out from the book of life if his name had never been written there in the first place. Thus, the possibility of having one's name blotted out shows, without doubt, the possibility of a believer falling away from the faith. In the church at Sardis, where some who had not defiled their garments, of these, Jesus said in Revelation 3 and verse 5, he who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments. And notice this, and I will not erase his name from the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Jesus is the one who indicates the possibility of one's name being erased. Am I going to approach the Lord and say, now Lord, you made a mistake in what you said there when you indicated the possibility of a man's name being erased from the Lamb's Book of Life? Am I going to be brazen enough and bold enough to approach the Lord and say something like that to him? Not this boy. In James 5, 19 and 20, James wrote, my brethren, if any of you strays from the truth, why would he even entertain the possibility of one straying from the truth if it were impossible? If one of you strays from the truth and one turns him back, is that possible? James is indicating that it is by the Spirit of God. Verse 20, let him know that he who turns a sinner, well, wait a minute, a sinner? He strayed from the truth. What? How does God define him? God says he's a sinner. He strayed from the truth. What if he had never strayed from the truth? Do you think God would call him a sinner? God wouldn't look at him and say, you're not in fellowship with me because you're a sinner. Do you think that would be the case? He's talking about someone who strays from the truth, not someone who loves the truth, who believes the truth and obeys the truth. Notice, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, it's possible to even approach someone who has strayed from the truth and gone back into sin and turn him back. Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. What does that say? If our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, there's no guarantee they'll stay there. Because we can stray from the truth and need to be turned back. And God will view us in that condition as a sinner. And he will say of us that we are in error. That's what James indicates. And he will say that we are in need of having our souls saved from death in such a condition. And in need of our sins being covered in such a condition. Is it impossible to ever stray once your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? You be the judge based upon what God has said. Our name may be blotted out. And the record clearly indicates that. John spoke of the heavenly city. And who shall enter it? Revelation 21 and verse 27. Nothing unclean. And no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it. But only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so my appeal to you this morning is make sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And do all that you can by the way that you live and the way that you help other people find God's Word. Do all that you can to help other people to have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life also. Ask yourself the question we often ask in song, is my name written there on the page white and fair? In the book of thy kingdom, is my name written there? Is my name written there? If not, friend, you need to obey the gospel that you might be added by Christ to his kingdom. For only those in his kingdom, only those who are members of his body, only those who are a part of the church that he purchased with his own precious blood, only those have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Every time we gather together, we offer people to do what the Scriptures ask you to do, to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We don't mention the Lamb's Book of Life every single time, but we do mention forgiveness of sins. We do mention being baptized into Christ, raised to walk in newness of life. We do mention those synonymous expressions, but it all boils down to, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, or is it not? We want your name to be written there. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. That's where we want to see everyone. Everyone. And to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of righteous, of the righteous, made just, made perfect. We're made perfect by the blood of Christ. It washes away all sin. And if you're in our assembly today and this is not you, you can fix that. You can change it. You can have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life this very day. If you, as a believer, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, will courageously confess Him before men, will take the strength from God's Word to repent of sins in your life. Change. Make a change. Think different. Act different. And we can baptize you in water. I can lower you in this pool of water behind me. And I'll lift you up out of that water, and your sins, every sin that you've ever committed, will be washed away from the remembrance of God. He will remember it no more. You'll be forgiven. And you'll be in a position to walk in a new life as a new creature, a new person. And your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What a wonderful thought. A beautiful thought to contemplate. If we can help you with that today, don't hesitate. Don't wait. Take care of it today. Please, come to the front and let us know while we stand together and encourage you by singing number 343.